sometimes once folks get on hospice, they actually do much better and they are discharged for extended prognosis. That's a definite win.
I think that's so amazing. I've heard many stories like that where people mm-hmm. got on hospice, they're getting the care they need, and they get better.
They get better. Oftentimes it's pain, right? Mm-hmm. And the pain is uncontrolled. You get the pain controlled. Then they're eating better. They're eating better. The strength's back. They can now do PT, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So that's not a bad thing. And if anything changes and you requalify, you will get hospice again. Some folks think that that would put them in a position where they couldn't have it again, and that's not true.
Welcome to Aging in Style, the podcast dedicated to celebrating aging and what it takes to do it well. I'm Lori Williams. I'm a certified senior advisor and senior housing expert. In each episode, you'll learn stories of older adults who are thriving in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and in some cases in their hundreds. Whether you're an older adult or the child of an older adult, this podcast is filled with insightful resources, organizations that are doing incredible work, and stories that will inspire you to volunteer, learn, and who knows, maybe even skydive in your golden years. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Aging in Style with Lori Williams. I am so glad you've tuned in, as I always am. But today we are talking about a topic that comes up quite frequently and can be very confusing for people, and it's hospice. And that word is always a little scary to people, but I think it's really important to understand what hospice is. So I have the best person I could think of to join me today, and it's Carol Thomas. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Good. Carol works for Lori Williams Senior Services, and we absolutely adore her. Carol has over 20 years experience in healthcare. She worked in pharmaceuticals, senior living, and then spent 3 years working in hospice. So for our team, anytime we have a hospice question, we have Carol to go to, and she explains it very clearly and very well so that we all understand it, which is why I wanted to have her on the podcast. And we've talked about doing this for a while, and so we're doing it today. So let's go, Carol. Carol had some interesting facts that she was just sharing with me about the history of hospice. I had no idea. So why don't you share those with us?
I'd be glad to. So honestly, it's very interesting, but hospice dates back all the way back to medieval times, and it was rooted in the word hospitality, hence hospice. When travelers were on long journeys and became ill, they needed a place to rest, or way stations of sorts. Hospice referred to those who kindly offered a safe place for those who were sick and weary travelers. Then over time, St. Christopher's Hospice was the first hospice in modern times, created in 1965 by Dom Cicely Saunders, who lived in London, but who began her work with terminally ill patients in the late 1940s. Following that, the establishment of St. Christopher's, the word hospice was coined, and the concept of hospice care spread across England.
I think that is so interesting. Who knew?
I know. Who knew? And, you know, no surprise, that's why the word hospice is not scary to me, because mm-hmm. if you think about the root, it really is hospitality.
Hospitality, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I had never thought about that before, but that's wonderful. So Carol and I were talking about different tips or things that you should know, which is what we're going to talk about. And we came up with, I think, 10. So let's get started.
Yep. So some of them are tips, some of them are things that are just considered misunderstandings, mm-hmm. and all of it just to be an overview and help you be more knowledgeable and not afraid of hospice when someone brings it up to you. I say that because hospice, even when I was a small child and we learned that my aunt was on hospice, we were like, oh, she has 3 to 5 days. And often that was the case, and hospice still can be utilized in that manner, but it has truly evolved. It is not a death sentence. And hospice agency does not hasten, that they don't retard. They simply allow the disease process to happen. But most importantly, through that process, they are ensuring a better quality of life. And actual studies that are medical studies have shown that putting hospice in sooner than later has actually extended life up to 30 days. And it's important to note that it's not just extending it in terms of quantity. It's, again, quality. Mm-hmm. So you're getting both when you put hospice in place sooner than later.
Exactly. And my grandmother was on hospice for 1.5 years. And we'll talk a little more about that. Okay, so what is the second
item? The second tip is a lot of folks don't want to have hospice come in because they have the misunderstanding that hospice just yanks all your meds. Mm-hmm. And that is not true. So, for example, if someone came on with congestive heart failure and they're on a blood pressure med, that to pull that med would take away the quality of life. At that point, it is giving them quality. It may not be prolonging it at any point at this time, but at the same time, to take it would be injury to the patient. So they don't just come in and pull all meds. There will be a discussion with your nurse at the right point in time, whether it's in the beginning or as time goes on, as to what meds should be continued, and a discussion with those that are not hurting or helping, or at some point if the patient can't swallow and the med only comes in an oral form, they're not going to be able to take the med.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is that you can't ever go to the hospital when you're on hospice. So let's go back to the CHF patient, congestive heart.
Mm-hmm.
If that patient should fall and break their hip, that's a really good reason to go to the hospital, and it does not mean that you have to revoke hospice and come off. Now, certainly once you're on hospice, the goal is not to unnecessarily go back and forth to the hospital, but again, there are reasons. So if that same patient went to the hospital with congestive heart failure and they admitted the patient, you do have to admit, with something related to the heart, then that would be an instance where hospice would have to be revoked. They would do what's necessary for the patient. And then when the patient came back home, they would put the patient back on hospice, as long as they, of course, continue to qualify.
And that's because they went to the hospital for something related to the reason why they're on hospice. However, had they broken their hip, not related to their heart, they could go in, have surgery, whatever it takes to fix the broken hip.
Yes.
And stay on hospice.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think people get really confused about that.
And it's easy to do. Even working in it in 3 years, I can tell you there were many times that I still called the director of nursing, because it was just such a fine line as to how medically something is determined related or mm-hmm. not related. But the take-home message is, just because you're on hospice, the goal is really to not go back and forth, but there are reasons to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is that you can't have physical therapy, occupational therapy, and be on hospice at the same time. It's not that you can't. It's that the insurance, Medicare, and even individual insurers, United Healthcare for someone 64 or younger, they're not going to pay for you to have physical therapy, occupational therapy, and be on hospice at the same time. It is considered treatment.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the United States, if you have the money, you can pretty much have any care that you want. You just can pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I always advise folks, if they'd still like to have physical therapy, it often happens when I have a dementia patient that has balance issues, they qualify for hospice. In dementia, it's usually when you're non-ambulating that you qualify. So, but at the same time, they still might want to keep that person's legs strong,
mm-hmm.
because in order to stay in many assisted livings, like what we do, you have to be able to participate in transferring from your wheelchair to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to try to keep the legs strong enough to bear weight.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, they might want to pay for a few cash paying sessions of physical therapy to allow the patient to stay strong enough to stay in assisted living,
mm-hmm.
but also have hospice in place.
Yeah. And when we're talking about transferring, just because we're kind of throwing that word out,
yeah.
is when someone goes, like say you're in bed and you need to get into your wheelchair. If you're unable to bear weight at all, you can't stay in assisted living. So you need to be able to, at least with one person or two people, be able to transfer their weight and pivot mm-hmm. just to get into the wheelchair.
And by the way, there are a couple of diamonds in the rough that are assisted livings
yep.
that will utilize a Hoyer, which is a machine that helps transfer a bedbound patient. And in the event that's necessary, then please do call us for that as
yes.
well, because we can certainly help you, because it is rare, but they mm-hmm. are out there and we are familiar with who can help with that.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we can also would be a residential care home, which
yes.
we do a lot for people that are on hospice
yes.
and really have that medical need. So not to kind of get in the weeds there,
nope.
but just
yep.
kind of explaining there's so many things
nuances.
Available. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nuances.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is true that you can no longer seek aggressive treatment specific to the terminal illness that has qualified you for hospice. So, for example, if you come on to hospice for cancer, then you can no longer do chemotherapy, radiation, infusions, etc. And this brings on the question about, well, then what's the difference between palliative care and hospice? So if you are on palliative care, the term palliative is a matter of comfort. And if you're on true palliative care, you can continue to seek treatment, and your palliative practitioner is doing all they can to keep you comfortable through treatment, the disease as it changes and progresses. Of course, within hospice, if you qualify and are no longer going to do treatment and you qualify for hospice, of course, there's a palliative component because palliative is comfort, and they will continue to keep you comfortable, which gives you that quality of life.
Absolutely.
It's often thought that you cannot be on hospice without having a do not resuscitate, known as a DNR. You do not have to have a DNR in order to be on hospice. It is highly recommended and advised as to what it takes to resuscitate someone who is that sick, but we would never not put hospice in place just because someone was not comfortable having a DNR.
In your experience, did most people have a DNR?
Probably 99%, if I had to guess. Maybe that's a little high, 98%. I don't know the numbers, but I feel like if I did 100 admissions, 98 of them had a DNR. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't have one, they did one upon admission.
Okay.
If they did not have one prior, which is often the case.
But
once you admit to hospice, they often are agreeable to having a DNR. But there are some folks that don't believe in that, whether it's religious or their own personal beliefs. It's not a judgment. There's not a wrong or right in that personal belief. But please do not think that you have to have a DNR to go on hospice. Get the care.
Okay.
Yep. A lot of folks believe hospice is 24/7. And I can see why they do that, because historically, when it was end of life, there are circumstances, terminal distress, that does qualify someone for 24/7 care at end of life. Again, you have to medically qualify. But if you come earlier on, 6 months out with prognosis, then most likely up front, you're not going to have 24/7 care. If something should occur even 2 months from then where you have some distressors that are uncontrolled, pain, shortness of breath, where the hospice organization feels that 24/7 care is needed and you medically qualify, they'll often go in and do that, get the patient's symptoms back under control, and then they remove the 24-hour care.
Here's a question for you, because I get asked this a lot, and I guess it's different for each person and how far they progress with their disease, but on average, how many days a week does someone from hospice come to their home, and is it a nurse, and I know that they can be bathed, that sort of thing, so how does that work?
A great question, and that honestly is a great segue into my next tip, which is not all hospices are the same. I really encourage you to look up Google reviews. There is a site called Medicare.gov Care Compare to look at numbers that Medicare has collected and reports back from families, etc. And they call them Medicare.gov Care Compare scores.
And this will be on hospices in your area, because there are lots and lots of hospices.
Lots of them. And they're not all the same. And then I highly encourage you to interview your hospice if you're hospice shopping, unless you're 100%, which sometimes happens with folks. Well, my dad was on X and they did a fabulous job, and Nurse Jenny was my Jenny, and I'd like to go back to them and ask for Jenny again. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. But if you're starting fresh, and even frankly, even if your doctor has recommended a hospice, I still recommend looking them up. Things change, et cetera, et cetera. But with that being stated, part of that conversation, I would ask them, how often can I expect to see my nurse on the average? How often can I expect to see my hospice aide, which is the person who's coming in and bathing and ensuring that pride and hygiene are taken care of? I know some come up to 5 times a week. Some only do 3 times a week. Some only do 1 to 2 times a week for the nurse. Some were doing nurse's visits that were teledoc at some point. So it is an important question. I would also ask them how they handle after hours. Meaning most agencies have 8 to 5 where their agency is open, and then at 5 o'clock, what happens? Monday through Thursday, and then Friday around the clock through Monday at 8. So ask them how they handle their on-call. Mm-hmm. I would also ask, what does that look like? Do I get a call center? Do I get a live body that answers my question? Because there's a preference there, and what you're comfortable with in the conversation.
Do you have like your nurse's number that say something happens at 2 a.m. Saturday? You have someone you can call.
It's my experience that is a decision of the personal nurse to be agreeable to give up her own direct line, because often that means that person's working 24/7 and then they've not had their rest to do well and to do good care.
So would they typically call the agency?
They typically would call the on-call number, and there's an on-call nurse. But that is handled differently at different companies, and that's why I encourage you to ask what that looks like.
Okay.
So that you feel comfortable with what it's going to look like for your loved one.
Okay. So everyone handles it a little differently. Find what's going to work best for you.
Exactly. You can't just elect to have hospice. I know a lot of people know that when you go on hospice, especially with Medicare, you get the medical bed and you get a wheelchair and you get the oxygen and so
depends.
On. Depends and gloves and all these great things. And it is great. And again, in the beginning, I said, I encourage you to take hospice sooner than later to be comfortable with it. At the same time, you do have to medically qualify. And it does have to be a general diagnosis, prognosis, if you will, of 6 months. Again, not a line in the sand. We are humans. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's longer. And sometimes once folks get on hospice, they actually do much better and they are discharged for extended prognosis. That's a definite win.
I think that's so amazing. I've heard many stories like that where people got on hospice, they're getting the care they need, and they get better.
They get better. Oftentimes it's pain, right? And the pain is uncontrolled. You get the pain controlled. Then they're eating better. They're eating better. The strength's back. They can now do PT, so on and so forth. So that's not a bad thing. And if anything changes and you requalify, you will get hospice again. Some folks think that that would put them in a position where they couldn't have it again, and that's not true. But under different terminal illnesses, congestive heart failure, ALS, cancer, COPD, so on and so forth, dementia, there are guidelines, markers that we know indicate this person has about a 6 month prognosis. Those guidelines are what you need to qualify you for hospice, even though you may want it for all the extra care you do have.
And you may
qualify.
Be close. I mean, we talk to people all the time. I've never worked in hospice. I know what I know from Carol and some other hospice reps. But, you know, I always do tell the family, look into it.
Yeah.
I mean, why not be prepared? And you never know. Maybe they will qualify.
Yes. And especially because it may just be a not yet. You're missing one qualifier. And then you can watch for that, knowing that you're not going to choose aggressive treatment, right? And you watch for that qualifier. And then you notify the agency of choice that you believe you have that qualifier and you've met it. Can you please come out and reevaluate? Now, what does it take to get that ball started is my last tip. So in order to proceed with hospice, you do have to have a physician write an order. It's like a prescription, even like you would take to CVS. It's on a prescription pad. It literally says hospice evaluation and treat. And that means if you evaluate and qualify, then they're giving you permission to care, which is the treat. And in addition with that, we need the clinical documentation from that physician. Because between the documentation on paper plus going out and physically evaluating the patient, it's the two married together that qualify the patient for hospice. And a nurse that's hospice experienced and knows Medicare guidelines, which pretty much mirror your other universal insurances, would then see if the patient qualifies and admit them if they do. And if not, tell them why they don't and proceed to either suggesting palliative care or saying we'll contact you or contact us
if things change.
You qualify and things change.
Okay.
Those are my 10 tips.
I love it. And we were also talking before, I don't think we hit on it, but the different types, like, because people will ask, am I going to get hospice 24/7? And we were talking about like where people go hospice homes, I basically think you called it.
So there are different levels of care. So the majority of hospice is done in the home. And the home is defined like a home you and I live in. A home is assisted living. A home is a memory care. A home is a residential care home. A home is skilled nursing. So that's hospice in the home. Hospice in a hospice facility, you do have to qualify, and I can give you an example. So unfortunately, my father was traveling to Georgia, and he had been given a prescription. He had CHF, and his potassium was low. And he was told to take before his trip additional potassium. and he took too much potassium and he got potassium poisoning. And it put him in the position that he was with his congestive heart failure, instantly terminal. We could not get him home, but we didn't live in Georgia. So he qualified for a hospice facility. And they transferred him from the hospital to the hospice facility. Mm-hmm. And then you might say, why didn't he just stay at the hospital and pass at the hospital? If you're a general inpatient, you have to be predicted that if life measures are removed or if anything they're doing has done what it can, the basic prognosis is 5 days or less in order for you to
stay in the hospital.
And be in general inpatient in the hospital.
Okay, so 5 days is the rule there.
And some hospitals are a little tighter on that with their guidelines, often 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
So know that as well.
Okay.
But the hospital knows what that medically looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my dad's instance, they weren't exactly sure that he would pass within 5 days, could be longer.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we couldn't bring him home. So we went to a hospice facility, sometimes called a hospice house.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then the third is in the home.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. I know this is a lot of information. And as I said, Carol does a great job of explaining it. You may need to listen a few times, but that's okay. I'm going to go back and re-listen too. So, Carol, thank you so much for coming on.
Always an honor and privilege.
Yay. We love having Carol around. So anyhow, be sure, as always, to share this podcast with your friends and family. I think it's really great information for everyone to know what hospice is, how it works, and, you know, not to be afraid of it. I think fear is the big thing. Whenever the word hospice is mentioned, people just kind of clam up and don't really want to talk about it. So it's actually a beautiful thing, to be honest. You know, my grandmother was on hospice at the end, so I got to experience it in that way personally. And it was a great thing. So be sure, like I said, listen to the podcast, share it with your friends. And you can go on my website anytime, LoriWilliams-SeniorServices.com. If you have any questions about hospice or want us to address another topic that you have a burning desire to learn about senior living, please just send us a message there. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.